Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Gun and Saddle. I'm Pierce Lancaster.
I'm Monty Edwards.
And we just wrapped up a pretty exciting weekend. Getting to help these guys film an episode of Hunt United. It's going to be on Realtree 365, and they got a pretty nice deer this weekend. I think it's going to be a pretty awesome episode.
Yeah, we had a Slade Priest and Ryan Wascom down or up from Mississippi and Louisiana. Those guys came in, actually flew in on Thursday night, picked them up at the airport around 11. Plane got delayed just a little bit. Got them in. They didn't get in bed till pretty late, but they were up and at them. We're gonna have the treat of having their guide, Craig Black, that was here with them this week. Craig did a great job of showing those guys around and getting them put on the deer. You know, we're going to be talking about this more. We're going to have an interview with Slade and hopefully Ryan also here in the next week or so, talking about the hunt and everything that they experienced. Also today, like I say, we're going to have Craig sitting in our next little segment. We're going to visit with him a little bit about what they're doing out at Spring Lake Potato and how they prepared for the season that led to a successful hunt.
Yeah, and let me tell you, I got to sit out trying to get a cold buck a couple of nights there. Didn't get it done, but I will say this, there are loads of deer out there. It's a pretty awesome place. They do a great job out there. So
yeah, it's they do it a little different than a lot of folks that I've seen, and it's working really well for them. So I think it'll be interesting as we bring Craig on to talk about that. Also, like Pierce said, the Hunt United episode, I was visiting with Slade, and he thinks we're probably looking at about a 6-week window before that'll be premiered. We'll be sure and push that out. If you don't have the Realtree 365 app, I would encourage you to go and download that, because not only do we have the Hunt United show that gets pushed out through that, but there's tons of content.
Oh, there. Yeah.
Lots of different hunting shows, lots of different of their pro hunters that put out programming there. You know, of course, some of the stuff that they do still shows up on the Sportsman's Channel and the Outdoor Network, but a lot of the stuff that they're doing now is moving more towards the streaming platforms. That's just the way people are consuming the information.
Right. So. And I like the 365 platform because you know, some of these hunting shows are getting more restricted on other sites. It's a more open platform for them, safer platform for hunters. And
you know. Yeah, I think it's very forward looking that Realtree has done what they've done to build their own platform, like you say, because they don't have to worry about the censorship and some of the other things. And another exciting thing we've got coming up here in an upcoming episode, we've got an interesting guy. I talked to him yesterday. He's going to be on one of our episodes. I told Pierce, he's a friend that I went to college with at Tech, and this isn't his official title, but we're going to probably title the episode the Fishing, Hunting, Preacher. So anyway, that's going to be Roddy Chester from down in San Angelo. Roddy's a really neat guy. I talked to him at length yesterday about being on one of our episodes, and you know, he's just like you and me. He's a man of the cloth, but he's also a guy that believes in family, believes in teaching his kids how to be providers, and it's a neat thing to watch him in the field. He takes them out there, big time fishermen, and they also are big hunters. So his background, he comes from New Mexico. I look forward to that one. I think it's going to be fun. He's a really neat guy to talk to. And we'll have him on probably next week on next week's episode. So, do you have anything else?
I think that's it. So,
yeah, we're really excited. You know, we've been a little longer than we intended since our last episode with all the hunting and everything that was going on last week during Thanksgiving. We intend to keep pushing this out weekly at least. One of the other things that we've got set up since the last time that we were on is we are now also pushing this out, the audio version of this, on a podcast. And you can pick that up on all your major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. We're also trying to get in a few of the others, but there's a process you got to go through to do that. But if you look, we've posted something on our Facebook page that shows you a way to go to that website for our podcast. So if you're a person that likes to listen to those when you're driving or working out or anything like that, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast. Yeah.
That's a good way to listen to pod. You know, if you're driving, like Monty said, or you know, at work, and you don't have time to you sit there on your computer and watch us, our beautiful faces every day. But it's an awesome way to still follow us and listen to what we have to say.
And for those of you that don't know this as well, I mean, we're streaming this also to our YouTube channel at M. Edwards Realty and Land. We're also streaming it to Pierce's Facebook page, Texas the Texas
Hunting Land Pro. You're the Texas Land Pro.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I get them mixed up. The Hunting Land Pro and then the Texas Land Pro. So you can go to either one of those Facebook pages. If you look up Pierce Lancaster or Monty Edwards, you should be able to find them. Also, we're pushing them out to our M. Edwards Realty Twitter page. They also are streaming live there as well, including also, I think I mentioned this already, but our YouTube page.
Yeah.
So any of those, if you'll go and subscribe on them, and I would encourage you to do it on YouTube, especially mm-hmm. because on YouTube is where we also put all of our listing information when we list new property. So anytime that we list a new property, we try to push out a new video, and that's a great way to keep up with when new properties are hitting the market.
Right. They're really good videos, too.
Well, we try. It gets a little harder this time of year because everything's turning. We're not green anymore.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun these last few months. So anyway, we're glad you're with us. We're going to take a short break. We're going to be back with Craig Black. Thank you for tuning in to Gun and Saddle. Hey, guys, I hope you're enjoying this video. If you're watching it on YouTube, please be sure to like and share the video. And also, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's one of the best ways that you can stay up to date on new listings and new activities that are going on with M. Edwards Realty and Land.
And if you're watching this video on Facebook, be sure to like and share the video, as well as like and follow our page. Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. Hey, we're back. We've got Craig Black with us. We're sitting here a little tighter. We need to get a little wider in the lens here, but we're all good buddies.
Sorry. We're really going to get to know each other on this thing.
Well, Craig, we thank you for coming in today. You know, we spent a lot of time with you last week.
And we did.
We had a lot of fun. You got to meet Slade and Ryan. What was that experience like for you?
It was fun. It was really nice. You know, I'd never watched a hunting show in my life, and just kind of getting to know them and really seeing a little truer parts of it. You know, I'd always heard that hunting shows are kind of a little on the faker part, but getting to know them, really, I've watched a couple of their episodes since then and really seeing how true their show is. I don't know about the rest of the guys out there, but no, I really enjoyed it. They're really cool to have fun. Really cool to hang out with. I mean, I hate that they're LSU fans. But I'd love to forgive them on that one.
Yeah, y'all had a little intense going back and forth there Saturday
we
night.
We did, yeah. And, you know, Texas A&M just having to play LSU Saturday night. Yeah. You know, Texas A&M did not get so lucky during that game, so that was not too exciting for me that night. But
us Red Raiders had to get out of there early. It was getting a little tired.
Yeah, we didn't have a dog in the
fight. Yeah, we just left.
There was some talk centered around some ex-coaches and players from Texas that get always brought into the mix, seems like, in the national scene.
Yeah.
So. Now, one of the things that I think you brought up already that is kind of cool about these Realtree guys that are associated with United Country, not to mention the fact that they're both also United Country Realtors and brokers, but they're really the real world deal, the genuine article.
Right.
And, you know, they're just like you and I. They come out when they go hunting, they're serious and all about business, but they like to have fun. You know?
Absolutely.
I really enjoyed getting to spend time with them and see, you know, how they do things, and it was cool in some ways. I saw that it wasn't a whole lot different than the way that we do them, but you know, one thing about it, they're closers. When they get the opportunity, they get the deal closed. So I think the episodes will be really cool. One of the things that they commented on was just they were really taken back by how well you guys had this set up, all the blinds, the organization that you had, the way that you did things. I mean, that's a pretty big compliment when you're getting that from guys that hunt all over the country and do it. Have been doing it since they were kids.
Right.
So I guess you want to talk to Craig a little bit about the way that they're feeding the deer and the way that they're doing their setup as far as that.
Yeah, so I was just going to let more so Craig explain, you know, kind of the processes of you know, their feeding schedules and stuff around mule deer season. You know, I've been around some deer ranches and stuff, and they don't do it like that, but I think that y'all's system is pretty dang cool. So I liked it anyway, just getting out there to watch all them deer running around, man. So just explain what y'all do, like what y'all do to bring in deer, you know, and keep deer on y'all's property.
So about 4 to 5 weeks before hunting season starts, we'll start feeding. I think we finished off hunting season with 12 feeders, 12 cameras. Mm-hmm. I think when we started off with like 14 feeders, totally weaned some out, and then we ended up moving some feeders kind of on deer traffic, moved a little closer to that so we kind of see a lot more deer. So we don't use the spinner feeders. We actually just use cattle troughs, and we feed 5 days a week. Closer to deer season, we'll feed at least Saturday, maybe Sunday. We do buy cracked corn in bulk. I think we ended up going through about 11,000 pounds of corn close to 3,000, maybe 4,000 pounds of Milo. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with us just feeding every day, check cameras every day, you know, we really get to see what's out there. And then with all the wheat fields, we put the corn pretty close to that. So we just really get to see what's out there. I mean, it's not a typical thing where you're going to your deer lease and, you know you have deer, but you're just praying mm-hmm. to see something.
Yeah.
We know what we have. You'll still have those older bucks that, you know, that vanish during deer season.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll still see some deer late at night that know not to go to the feeders, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how. That's how they've gotten to that age. But they know.
Well, and Texas is unique because some of the folks that may be watching this podcast, I mean, in some states you're prohibited from feeding, but in the state of Texas you are allowed to feed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the unique thing about the deal, and we don't want to misportray this, it's still a lot of chance. There's just a tremendous number of deer in this part of the world.
Right.
And that's one of the things that we've really, I think, even took those guys back a little. Because,
right.
You know, they've hunted all over the place, but I don't know that they've ever been anywhere, and I don't want to take words out of their mouth, but where they've seen that many deer.
Right.
You know, it was really just a good experience, even if you're not coming to even bring a gun. You just wanted to see the mm-hmm. mule deer in Texas, in their environment, the way that they move from the native range and come into the wheat to graze, and then the movement of the deer, it's a very natural thing that you see. And, you know, the thing about mule deer that most people who haven't hunted them don't realize, they're not like whitetails. When you do put up mm-hmm. feeders, they don't just always go to the same place every time. They're more of a browsing animal. I've noticed that over the years of hunting them. So there's still a lot of chance involved with it, but it's really cool to be in a deal where, you know, because we have a two-weekend season.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at a very short window of time. It's pre-rut, so you're not at a point of time where it's like that the, you know, as opposed to whitetail, right about this time of year, usually you're getting into full rut
right.
with the whitetail.
Right.
So the mule deer a lot of times are still in bachelor groups
mm-hmm.
sometimes. And talk about that. I mean, what have you seen with the patterns of the deer? I mean, do you see a change as we go through this week? Is this a time of transition with the mule deer bucks as far as the way they act? And
oh, absolutely. So, you know, like you were saying, mule deer bucks will run in packs up until we kind of get to this time of year because we're, I guess, the rut's slowly starting on right now. It'll probably start hitting pretty heavy in a couple weeks. But even, you know, during deer season, we're out a lot more. We're around our feeders, our blinds a lot more. So you'll already see them, you know, if we keep going to the same blind, you'll already start seeing the deer take a little more notice and they'll maybe avoid that blind a little bit more. But, you know, on the last day of deer season is the last day we feed. We don't feed anymore. You know, we don't need to. And so,
right.
you know, they're still used to us. Most of our feeders are pretty central located with our barns and the potato facility. And so they're pretty tame. You know, you can drive around the circle. Won't scare most of them off. There'll be a few that will run off.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, still have that same prospect. But I think we saw the last few nights of deer season that bucks were already smelling around, starting to chase some mm-hmm. does,
yes.
and bucks were starting to fight each other. You know, they're
right.
running in those packs that they were just a few weeks before.
Well, I had a game camera over some water about a week prior to hunting season this year, and I actually captured a deal. It's kind of unique here because we have a whitetail and mule deer population. Now,
yeah.
the whitetail population hasn't been here as long,
right.
and they've kind of moved into this area. But I actually had a picture of a mule deer buck and a whitetail buck going at it,
pretty cool.
Behind
that
a
is
water
pretty
deal.
Cool.
That,
yeah,
that's
cool.
a neat thing because
yeah.
I've heard in the past, and we'd appreciate comments if anybody's out there watching. Looks like Ryan made a comment. He said, "Great guys," and we'll pop in. So, you know, there's Ryan Wascom. He was one of our hunters here. That's
yeah,
kind of cool. But thanks for commenting, Ryan. And if any of you other guys are out there and you want to drop in comments, this is live, so feel free if you got any questions or anything you want to ask. But the thing I was going to talk about is just that's a unique deal with the whitetail mule deer. And I've heard in different parts, because we've hunted for a long time off the cap mm-hmm. down around Flomont area, Matador, Turkey. We've got an office actually in Turkey, Texas as well. But, you know, there it's different because the mule deer and the whitetail seem like they kind of keep to themselves more. Here you'll have interaction with these animals.
Right.
You know, they'll actually get in each other's way a little bit.
Right.
And I think part of that's because the whitetail kind of moved into
exactly.
the mule deer's
yeah.
habitat.
Yeah.
But it was kind of odd to see that mule deer buck squaring off with that whitetail.
And, you know, I think, sorry to interrupt you, but
no,
really
big
whitetail are a lot more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So whitetail
mm-hmm.
will run the mule deer bucks off.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I think. I've heard before that that's sometimes a problem when you have the whitetail. that move in, because sometimes they will get aggressive with the does. If you've got some of the mule deer does starting to come into estrus a little bit early, you know, they can actually cover those does. And you do have some issues sometimes with hybrids.
Right.
You know, that is something that you do see occasionally here more, I think, than they do down in those areas where the both herds are established.
Right.
But one of the things that we're talking about now that's exciting, I wanted to ask Craig about, is talking about this extension of the season possibly for next year. We've heard scuttlebutt that the Texas Parks and Wildlife, if you got the survey that we got in the mail, they're pondering the idea of extending and opening up our mule deer season to a 3-weekend season, is my understanding.
Correct.
They're going to add an antler restriction.
Yeah, we're. Possibly. I think we're speculating on
that. Yeah, I mean,
we're
all this is speculation.
Just going by seasons in other counties that we're kind of assuming they will add that archery season.
And, yeah, and the archery season. Yes, exactly. Now, the archery season would be exciting because what they do in some of the other counties, I believe, is we have an October archery season that mirrors the whitetail archery season.
Correct.
So
yeah, there's just, I believe it's two counties north of the potato shed, you know, 45-minute drive. They do have, I believe, a 5-week-long archery season.
Yeah.
And we don't. You know, and they still have that 9-day rifle season, but they have that 5-week-long archery season.
It'd be really interesting too to see what it would be like trying to hunt the mule deer during that time, because I do know for one thing, I don't believe hunting over a feeder is going to be as effective during that time span, because they've got so much more going on. It's still going to be growing season. The farmers are still going to have crops that are still green in the fields a little bit.
Yeah, well, still cutting silage at that point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we always see deer living in a silage field and they go cut it. So they're roaming that way, you know, and like our potato harvest just finished a month before that, so we're still getting in our cover crop. So it will be a lot different than what we're used to, adding a deer season in that time period.
It's the bigger implication of it, too, that I think is something that will be interesting to see is, you know, we get one tag.
Right.
So
right.
It could actually be a good thing, because one thing that we do run into is lots of pressure.
Right.
I mean, you've got everybody trying to punch that tag that's out hunting in that 1 week period, essentially. You got a 9-day period there. I think it could be nice, especially for the guys that are, you know, out there wanting to try to take one with a bow, that they're going to have that period of time, possibly. You know, we're talking in theory because this hasn't been decided. Mention a little bit, too, about who we may have on in a couple of weeks. I mean, we better not mention names yet, but we possibly could have a wildlife.
Right, yeah, and we'll talk about the MLD program, which is it fairly new? Is that a newer deal, Monty?
Yes, yeah, Dave, it is.
And basically, in regards to mule deer, it extends your mule deer season.
Correct.
Like we were talking with them. Y'all's neighbors are in that MLD program, and how much longer do they get to hunt?
So I believe they start a week to 2 weeks before regular deer season, and then it extends at least a month after.
And that's right? not archery.
That's rifle.
So that's something that, you know, landowners could consider bringing their properties into that MLD program.
Oh yeah,
for an extended.
I know. There's minimum acreage requirements. I know there's management practice requirements.
Right.
But I can also tell you that some of the best areas for the best deer in like Lamb County are around the MLD programs, and especially where you got situations like with what y'all got, where, you know, you've got production ag that's feeding the deer throughout the year.
Right.
You know, because they're not just feeding them during hunting season. I mean, the deer are coming off at night, coming into these irrigated fields. And that's one reason I think people are really shocked at the size and the health of the herds of what we have here.
Right.
So, you know, another thing I thought was worth mentioning, Craig, is just, you know, the fact that you guys, when you had these guys in here, one of the comments was just the hospitality you guys showed was just outstanding. And I know like Ryan and Slade, not to put words again in their mouth, but they do travel and hunt a lot of places.
Right.
And I heard them make more than one comment about how good a job you guys did.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that if you're interested in looking into a hunt for next year, you know, you can get in touch with us. We can put you in touch with these guys. Or if you want, we can try to. Matter of fact, if you'll get us some contact information at some point, we'll try to get that out there.
Yeah, we for sure do that. Yes.
So you can look and talk about scheduling a hunt. I have a feeling that y'all may have a few scheduled.
Yeah, I think we might get a few extra this year.
We're going to keep you busy.
Yeah. So another real cool thing right before we go to, just to let you know that these guys had done in the past, is they donate a couple of hunts, or they have in the last few years, and they donate ones to WT.
Yes.
WT gets to auction off those hunts. So if you're interested in knowing about that, we can probably find out the information.
Yeah, we can for sure give you that information. I'm not sure exactly what banquet or which. I want to say it's within the athletic department,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, we can easily get you that information.
That'd be a pretty cool way to get one and go ahead and help the organization.
Right.
Get
yeah. And do that. Yeah, and tax write off that way too. Yeah. That would be really good.
Well, you had, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you, both of your guys that came out on the donated times, they were successful.
They were. They were very successful, yes. Okay.
Yep. All right. Well, Craig, do you have anything else for Craig?
That's it. I appreciate this weekend. It was awesome.
Man, it was fun. It was great getting to know you two a lot more. So.
Well, we're glad you joined us. And as we keep doing this, you know, we're learning as we go with this podcast. But we really do appreciate you sitting in with us. And we hope to have you back.
Well, thanks. Hope so.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead to our break, and we'll be back in just a minute. Maybe.
Need that screen that says hang in
keep
there.
Keep talking, yeah. Peter.
I get to stall here for a little bit.
Okay, I got it.
Maybe.
Well, you're jinxing yourself.
Well, we better just keep moving. We'll just let Craig stay in for our...
Yeah, I'll hang out.
Yeah, he'll just hang out with us as we wrap up. You got to love technology.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
This was our first time to go live, so if we had a pretty major glitch, it wouldn't have been very good. No, the last few things just to wrap up. Coming forward, we've already mentioned some of our interviews that we've got coming. We're going to try to have Slade and hopefully Ryan on maybe at the same time, possibly at different times. We're going to be bringing in possibly someone from Texas Parks and Wildlife. We're trying to get approval to get that done so we can ask questions. That'd be a really cool one for comments. If we get anybody in on that. And then also, you know, we've got the Hunt and Fishing Preacher coming up.
I'm excited for that. Yeah.
You know, another thing that I like to tell you, too, if you can go on info@mEdwardsRealty.com, that link's in the discussion part or in the description part of our podcast and video podcast. But if you'll go into that, send us some suggestions. If you have someone you'd like to see us get with, interview, talk to on this show, man, we're always wanting the content. I mean, we want to hear what you guys want to listen to. So let us know about that. Other than that, it's been a lot of fun this week. I look forward. I hope we can keep doing these mule deer hunts every year. We've got some stuff coming up. We're also talking about with the crane hunting before the year's up, geese hunting. We're going to be talking about that. Another thing that I noticed while we were out and about was the quail numbers.
Yeah, I didn't get to add that earlier. Is being from east of here, the quail, I'd never seen blue quail in the wild before until I was out there at your place. I was like, I'll be dang, there was some blue quail.
You know, we're unique here because we have both, and if you get around these sand hill areas, you'll see the blues. And we've always had a pretty decent population of those. We've got a lot of bob whites. I've got that same trail camera I was talking to you about that I had posted over that water trough. It was a Nita. Mm-hmm. I was getting tons of pictures.
Those bob whites,
Cody's a quail that were jumping up to drink the water. So
another thing that we saw just walking across the side of the road was a rooster pheasant.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that there's not that many. As you said, there's not that many out here. But, you know, I think that's something that people don't realize that we have out here is pheasant.
When you go just north of the sand hills, you get over around Olton has a pretty big deal every year around the pheasant hunting when pheasant hunting season opens, and that's in Lamb County. It's over in the northeast edge, but also as you go up around Dimmitt, up Hereford, those areas, the areas that you have the bigger playa lakes, but they still grow a little wheat, and corn. But yeah, that's another really exciting thing. So we've got a lot to talk about here. We've got a lot more hunting to do. Of course, on the other side of that too, on the ranching and western side, we want to get your comments and stuff. You know, we were at the horse sale for the last two episodes, and we hope to have a few more guys in from that side talking about the equine industry in this area, the cattle industry. Lots of things going on with cattle right now. The markets are crazy. Prices on commodities are high, but the livestock markets are at a good trajectory right now. I know some things in the last day or two, we've seen a little bit of decrease in price on a few things. But it'd be interesting. We may try to get some folks in around those things as well. So anyway, we don't have anything else for you today. We thank you for tuning in. Thanks again, Craig, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I do want to chime in real quick and just say Giga Maggie's.
We should have never let him stop. No, anyway, we do appreciate it. We'll let that slide this one. So, thank you for joining us.
Wreck 'em tech.